Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, in the headlines. Glenroy Soso Coffee tweeted the Young Farmers Training Program established by the United Workers Administration, highlighting empowerment of youth who later became influential persons in the agricultural sector.
Regional and global.
Prime Minister Philip J. Pierre reported that the contribution of St. Lucia's Citizenship by Investment Program was less than the improved estimates of EC $90 million for the 2023-2024 fiscal year. And Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison by a judge for stealing $80 billion from customers of the now bankrupt FTX cryptocurrency exchange he founded. Details coming up next.
The Big Station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Glenroy Soso Coffee looked back on the United Workers Party administration's time in office and highlighted their establishment of a youth farmers program in Dominica. This initiative trained and motivated young people to pursue careers in agriculture by giving them exposure to different sector activities and related institutions in the country. Coffee noted that many beneficiaries of this program subsequently became influential persons in Dominica's agricultural sector.
The young people, I think under the United Workers Party, we started a young farmer program where we wanted to train young, where we started training young people into agriculture, getting them to love agriculture, putting them in different areas where they were exposed in agricultural institutions in around Dominica. And some of them today become big agriculturists, some of them become bankers because they were attached to the Ed Bank, they were attached to the National Bank. Some of them were attached to DEXA, some of them were attached to ICA and the various organizations. And so that is very important. And another thing, we have to look at the role of women in agriculture. That is very, very important. Gone are the days when women come to just cook food and so. No, yes, they can play a better role. Women now do in their backyard garden, they do vegetable, they can get involved in packaging, train them in packaging, train them in labeling, and these are the things, in sorting, and all these things must be, all these are just the technical part of it.
Coffee reiterated that as the United Workers Party prepares to potentially assume government leadership again, they prioritize the advancement of Dominica's agricultural sector, recognizing its pivotal role in boosting the nation's economy and its people.
The government in waiting, we are serious about developing the agricultural sector because we know this is a lucrative area. This is an area where you can make a lot of money. And this area we know we can bring a lot of foreign exchange to this country so that farmers can be happy. As we speak right now, we know we have a problem where farmers have left the rural areas and they come down seeking jobs. Some of them went into tourism. Nothing wrong with that. You have to connect agriculture with tourism. When you produce the chicken, you can have your tourists eating the chicken. When you produce the eggs, you can have the tourists eating the eggs, eating the omelets and so. When you produce the pork or real pigs and put that in the pork, they can eat the bacon. And that is the thing. We need that integration of the sector between agriculture and tourism. Nothing wrong with that.
And that was United Workers Party member Glenroy Coffee. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit has hailed China's ongoing role as a vital strategic and economic ally of Dominica, underscoring the deepening ties between the two nations. Speaking recently, Mr. Skerrit expressed satisfaction over the adoption of several technical cooperation agreements and the notable rise in the number of Dominican students pursuing studies in China since 2004. He emphasized the significance of projects like the construction of the Dominica-China Friendship Hospital, describing them as pivotal moments in the bilateral relations between Dominica and the People's Republic of China.
China continues to consolidate itself as an important strategic and trading partner of Dominica. We are very pleased with the adoption of several technical cooperation agreements and the increase in Dominican students studying in China since 2004. The construction of the China-Dominica Friendship Hospital has been a momentous moment in our bilateral relations. Dear friends, Dominica and China have supported each other in international affairs and will continue to partner to partners in championing just causes for a more equitable, democratic and humanistic international world order. We firmly adhere to and respect the One China principle and at the same time reject the politicization and interference in the internal affairs of the broader country of China. We commend China's achievements in building a prosperous society that is centered on human welfare.
Prime Minister Skerrit also stated Dominica's endorsement of the vision for a global community with a shared future as advocated by Chinese President Xi Jinping and the General Secretary. He emphasized the importance of initiatives like the Belt and Road Initiative in fostering cooperation and connectivity among nations.
Dominica supports the concept of building a community with a shared future for mankind, promoted by the General Secretary and President Xi Jinping. Dominica is very supportive of the Belt and Road Initiative, Global Security Initiative, the Global Development Initiative, and the Global Civilization Initiative, which will bring prosperity, foster exchanges between our countries, and create great opportunities for mutually beneficial cooperation. Our countries will continue to work together to face the challenges that affect the international community today, and to build an open and inclusive system where harmony prevails in diversity, peace, security, and common prosperity. We are proud of Dominica's contribution to greater rapprochement and cooperation between China and the Caribbean community, CARICOM. We have supported rounds of consultations between the Caribbean region and China with successful results. The last of such consultations was held in Dominica in July 2023, and Trinidad and Tobago in July 2023. We also contributed to China's special participation as a special guest at the 45th regular session of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, UNICEF and the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, OECS, solidified their commitment to improving the lives of children and young people across OECS member states through a renewed partnership agreement. The agreement aligns with the OECS Human Partnership and Social Development Strategy, focusing on critical areas such as child protection, social protection, inclusive education, youth engagement, and the climate and resilience, in line with the missions of both organizations. OECS Commission Director General Dr. Didricus Jules hailed UNICEF as a prime example of successful collaboration between the OECS Commission and the UN agency. He emphasized the partnership's distinctiveness, highlighting active discussions and engagement that enrich both entities. Dr. Jules expanded on the partnership's scope, noting its extension beyond OECS member states to include British Overseas Territories as associate members. He praised UNICEF's ongoing support in strengthening integration within the OECS member states. UNICEF representative for the Eastern Caribbean, Peter Bolt, underscored the invaluable nature of the organization's close ties with the OECS Commission. Bolt expressed the joint aim to enhance OECS effectiveness, particularly in areas of mutual interest, and to foster closer collaboration in the area of project planning and implementation. On Zero Waste Day, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres delivered a starking warning, asserting that the Earth is facing an alarming induction of waste that threatens its very existence. Guterres highlighted the perilous situation excavated by rampant overconsumption and insufficient waste management practices, which have plunged the planet into a dire predicament. He emphasized the urgent need for concerted efforts from individuals, communities, and nations to combat the destructive cycle of waste.
Gentlemen, I want to begin by thanking Turkey for co-hosting this event with the United Nations Environment Programme and UN Habitat. In particular, I acknowledge Her Excellency Ms. Emine Erdogan, First Lady of the Republic of Turkey, for her visionary leadership on this critical issue of zero waste. Our planet is drowning under a torrent of trash. Every year, humanity produces more than 2 billion tons of municipal solid waste. rotting food, plastic bottles, chemical-laced electronics, and much more are tossed away without regard for our water, land, and air. As trash decays, it spews planet-warming greenhouse gases into our atmosphere, poisons our water and soil, and inflicts illness, disease, and even death among people around the world. Overconsumption is killing us. Humanity needs an intervention.
Guterres emphasized the significant contributions of the Advisory Board on Zero Waste since 2023 in fostering collaboration among stakeholders to address the pressing issue of waste management.
Since last year, the Advisory Board on Zero Waste has been bringing partners together around this critical issue and what needs to be done to make zero waste a reality. Businesses must rethink their products to minimize wasteful packaging and maximize longevity and life cycle. Consumers must think twice about the goods and products they purchase and recycle or reuse wherever possible. Governments at all levels must build circular economies that address resource depletion and management and invest in modern waste management programs anchored in reuse, remanufacturing, recovery, and waste prevention. And the global community must stand as one and work towards achieving a legally binding treaty to end plastic pollution. On this Zero Waste Day, let's pledge to end the destructive cycle of waste once and for all.
And that was United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. White Ikobili advocates for a viable environment wave is bringing awareness to the youth of Dominica about rivers and about the importance of planting trees in efforts to preserve and protect ecosystems. This past International Day of Action for Rivers, students from schools across the island participated in river cleanups, tree planting, and advocated for a clean and healthy environment. Executive member of WAIS, Ms. Magro Larock, told Q95 News on March 28th, she looks forward to more students and 4-H movements collaborating again for World Rivers Day 2025.
WAVE has also taken on the task of upcycling plastics with various schools, creating green wall gardens, teaching the students the importance of agriculture and how to repurpose plastic to their benefit. WAVE remains on a mission to teach the youth to value this beautiful Eden because, after all, they will inherit the earth.
Executive member of WAVE, Ms. Magro Larock. On the occasion of the filming of the reality TV show Kalina in Dominica in partnership with France Television, production company Dream Master is offering an extraordinary opportunity to 15 candidates to participate in a masterclass focused on broadcast audiovisual production on April 25th and 26th. Following this training, the top 10 participants will be involved in the production of the television show from May 1st to 15th for 2024 in order to validate their certification. Producer and director Joycelyn Votor will be the trainer for this masterclass. Interested candidates should have experience in the audiovisual field and be at least 18 years of age. The objectives of the masterclass are 1. To understand the roles and responsibility of an audio and video technical assistant, and 2. Master the necessary skills for effective preparation and installation of audio-visual equipments.
Kalina, le trésor des ancêtres sur l'île de la Dominique. Le casting, c'est maintenant. Cette année, on vous emmène découvrir l'île mystérieuse de la Dominique, territoire ancestral des Indiens Kalinago, avec des participants de Martinique, de Guadeloupe, de Mayotte, mais également de la France hexagonale. Alors, vous voulez vivre cette aventure hors du commun? Inscrivez-vous et peut-être que vous serez retenu pour participer à cette expérience unique et pourquoi pas tenter de remporter la somme de 20 000 euros cash. Kalina sur l'île de la Dominique, pour participer au casting, c'est sur kalinatv.fr avant le 7 avril. Une production Dream Master WA pour France Télévisions, avec la participation du Tourism Board of Dominica et l'Express des Îles.
Finally, in the local news, the president of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph, advocates for the implementation of a comprehensive assessment system for all public officers in the public sector, regardless of their position. He suggests that such assessments should be conducted regularly to ensure accountability and efficiency within the public service. Joseph emphasized that if there is consensus on this proposal, a structured mechanism can be established to facilitate the assessment process. This mechanism would involve assembling a diverse panel of individuals tasked with evaluating the performance of permanent secretaries and other high-ranking officials.
Public officers, no matter what level, should have some kind of form of assessment, whether you're a permanent secretary or you're a junior clerk. And if you can agree on that principle, then we can call the mechanism. And it might not be a board, but there has to be some kind of structure. And maybe that's a discussion we need to have, that maybe a three-person board, a union rep, a government rep, and maybe one appointed by the Public Service Commission with chairman rotating should be established to assess permanent secretaries. Union rep, government rep, and the PSC, and have a rotation. Maybe a mechanism we can explore to create some equity, to create some balance. But the central point is that permanent secretaries, especially now that the whole process of selection of PSCs is so marred in the politics, that you know, you have to have a system where you appraise them, because it have implications for the rest of the public service. You have an inefficient permanent secretary, rest assured that there's going to be major problem within that department or ministry. And so for you to talk about the efficient administration of the public service, we must have checks and balances at all levels.
Joseph further stated that questions may arise as to whether the cabinet secretary, who is the head of the public service, should be the one to undertake this assessment, which possibly conveys the perception that some may question the independence of the cabinet secretary.
I'm sure some people will tempted to say, well, why not the CAPSEC, who is supposed to be the head of the public service, should be the one supervising PSCs and as such appraising PSCs. But to your point again, how independent will that process be? So, but it's centrally, we should maybe investigate what's the best mechanism.
Steve Joseph, the president of the Dominica Public Service Union. In other news, the St. Lucia government says the Citizenship by Investment program contributed EC $45 million, that is one EC dollars equals to 0.37 cents in revenue from the Treasury during this fiscal year. Prime Minister Philip J. Pierre, who is also the Minister of Finance, told Parliament on Tuesday last week that the CBI's contribution was less than the approved estimates of EC $19 million for the 2023-2024 fiscal year. He said the reason for the difference between the approved estimates and the projected outturn is due to an increase in demand for the real estate option rather than donations that go directly into the National Economic Fund or government bond options. Prayer, who is also presenting the 2024-2025 estimates of revenue and expenditure, said that EC $64.1 million was received by the National Economic Fund, and that from the amount, EC $45 million was transferred directly into the revenue. He added that the balance is available for use according to the objectives of the fund. In addition, $39.5 million was received from the bonds, but it is included in bond financing this year. Pierre said this year a further EC $17.4 million was used to fund security, healthcare, social development, and infrastructure development. And Sam Bankman-Fried, founder of the bankrupt FTX cryptocurrency exchange, received a 25-year prison sentence for embezzling $80 billion from customers. U.S. District Judge Lewis Kamplin issued the sentence, dismissing Bankman-Fried's claims of no actual customer losses and cited his false testimony during the trial.
Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison on Thursday. The former billionaire and founder of a defunct cryptocurrency exchange was found guilty by a jury last November of stealing $8 billion from customers of FTX, the exchange he'd founded in what prosecutors said was one of the largest financial frauds in U.S. history. The 32-year-old Bankman-Fried was convicted on 7 counts of fraud and conspiracy stemming from FTX's collapse in 2022. At the sentencing, U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan said, quote, "He knew it was wrong. He knew it was criminal. He regrets that he made a very bad bet about the likelihood of getting caught, but he is not going to admit a thing, as is his right." Bankman-Fried acknowledged during 20 minutes of remarks to the judge that FTX customers had suffered, and he offered an apology to his former FTX colleagues. A prosecutor with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan told the judge, quote, "The criminality here is massive in scale. It was pervasive in all aspects of the business." Federal prosecutors had sought a prison sentence of 40 to 50 years. Bankman-Fried's defense lawyer had argued that a sentence of less than 5 1/4 years would be appropriate. He also tried to distance his client from other notorious fraudsters, such as Bernie Madoff, saying, quote, "Sam was not a ruthless financial serial killer who set out every morning to hurt people." Bankman-Fried has vowed to appeal his conviction and sentence.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Glenroy Coffee tooted the Young Farmers Training Program established by the United Workers Party Administration, highlighting empowerment of youth who later became influential persons in the agricultural sector.
DA.com.
Prime Minister Philip J. Pierre reported that the contribution of St. Lucia's Citizenship by Investment Program was less than the approved estimates of EC $90 million for the 2023-2024 fiscal year.
Top of the hour.
And Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison by a charge for stealing $80 billion from customers of the now bankrupt FTX cryptocurrency exchange he founded. I've been your presenter for this involvement.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.